ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदाशिव समारंभाम् व्यास शंकर मध्यम शांति 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 सो ऑल दिस वर्सेस व्हाट वी बीन सीइंग लेट एम्फसाइजिंग How to resolve Jiva Srishta Dvaitam, especially Tivram Manorajyam. Tivram Dvaitam or Tivram Armandam Dvaitam. Do you remember the number? Shakyam Jetam Manorajyam. Nirvikalpa samadhitah susampadah kramat sopi savikalpa samadhina. Shakyam jetam manorajyam nirvikalpa samadhitah susampadah kramat sopi savikalpa samadhina. This Manorajyam is a technical expression used only here. Literally, it means the kingdom of the mind. But it doesn't mean the kingdom of the mind. Manorajyam here is the mind wherein the thoughts, all emotions rise uncontrollably. Of course, in every mind, thoughts do rise uncontrollably. Uncontrollably thoughts do rise. Because the thoughts are involuntary. Because our will is not involved in the rising of thoughts. We cannot decide which thought to have, which thought not to have. We can use our will to do physical activity. But the mind is a function. Mind itself is a function. The function of meditation, we call it a function because it's involuntary function. Mind functions on its own. The function of meditation itself is involuntary function. Therefore, there's a time thoughts resolve, the thoughts rise. And especially the emotions rise. We do not have any control over thoughts. They do rise on their own. All emotions rise on their own. We do not have any control, any say over thoughts. So thoughts are involuntary. Thoughts do rise. When we keep ourselves busy, active, with the focused attention, there's some purpose which is impelled by something when we are busy, active. These thoughts can be really managed. Thoughts can be kept in check. Suppose if there is somebody who can sit without doing anything, lazy, idle, and naturally there'll be thoughts, involuntary thoughts, which rise uncontrollably. Whenever thoughts arise like that, one must try to focus on one's own sorupa. Which means one has to make use of one's will. One has to decide, one has to involve oneself in నిధిధ్యాసనం. One has to dwell upon the teaching. Because one is already exposed to the teaching, there is understanding of the teaching. Of course, exposure is not that, that's a different problem. Exposure being there, understanding of the teaching being there, one has to make efforts in order to deliberately involve oneself in dwelling upon the teaching. Especially when people were very old, do not have much to do, even then cannot do also much, and that is the time. That is why for old age, one has to prepare oneself. Pujya Swamiji used to say, it's a preparation for one's old age. We may not value the study when we are very young. Suddenly, when you get very old, physically when you are not able to do things, it is not possible to dwell upon the teaching suddenly. When physically not being able to do much or not recurrent to do much, when we have a lot of time, then without allowing the involuntary thoughts to come and occupy the mind, one must make use of that time available, because physically one doesn't require to do much, one cannot do much. But still mentally one is alert, means that one must then dwell upon the teaching. It is possible. Because what else a person do at old age? What else a person do? What else a person can do? Because physically one cannot do much. If at all one can do, one doesn't require to do much. So then there's a time. The time must be used for dwelling upon the teaching. Your person has to make use of the time to meditate upon the teaching. The person must have been exposed to the teaching already. The person must have understood the teaching already. Assimilation might not have happened when a person is exposed to the teaching. Assimilation might not have happened. But there's definitely understanding must be there. Understanding is enough, as even assimilation would not have been possible. But now, I mean, when nothing much to do, one must make use of that time to dwell upon the teaching. That dwelling upon the teaching is possible. It is possible to ascertain and thereby enjoy the mukti one already has. One can be free while living. So here, Vidyaranya Swami says in the 61st verse, Jetum Shakyam. Shakyam jetum, jetum shakyam. Shakyam is a very interesting, nice word. Begins with a beautiful word. Shakyam, it is possible. Whenever the touch words come, very supportive words, encouraging words. Not simply encouraging, the facts also. It's a fact also. Shakyam, it is possible. Possible to do what? Jetum. It is possible to be victorious over. It is possible to win. It is possible to manage. Jetum means to win. It is possible to win Manorajyam. Literal meaning. It is possible to win Manorajyam means it is possible to manage this uncontrollably rising involuntary thoughts. It is possible to manage, it is possible to have mastery over uncontrollably rising involuntary thoughts. Manorajyam jetum shakyam. How is it possible to manage our thoughts? How is it possible to manage our thoughts? Yes, nirvikalpa samadhitaha. Nirvikalpa samadhitaha, which means if we make efforts, if we use our will to involve ourselves in meditation upon the Vedantic teaching, it is possible if we can use our will to meditate upon the Vedantic teaching. So understand the teaching effectively. When we are exposed to teaching, we would have learned so much. And even if we are not, even if we do not remember everything, at least some important verses, important mantras, the unfoldments, if we have in our minds, then we can dwell upon the meanings or unfoldment of those important mantras. We need not remember verse number one to until the last verse of Bhagavad Gita. We not know everything. There are many important verses in any text, in Bhagavad Gita or Upanishad mantras. If you remember those important some mantras or verses or prakaragantas also, then remember the unfoldment of those verses or mantras. If we can focus, if we can repeatedly see the meanings of those verses, not simply seeing the actual unfoldment of those mantras or verses, it becomes, or it is called, nirvikalpa samadhi abhyasaha. Nirvikalpa samadhi abhyasaha means involving oneself in contemplation. Nirvikalpa samadhi abhyasaha is an expression used, you must have heard in Drik Trishe Veka text also, same text written by Vidyaranya Swami. Nirvikalpa samadhitaha, when he says, nirvikalpa samadhi abhyasataha. Abhyasa is important. By involving oneself in the practice of nirvikalpa samadhi means involving oneself in contemplation. The word nirvikalpa samadhi here means nirvikalpa samadhi abhyasaha. Nirvikalpa samadhi abhyasaha means nididhyasanam. One must involve oneself in dwelling upon the unfoldment of important mantras or verses or prakrana granthas or Bhagavad Gita or Upanishads, which itself becomes a swarupa anusandhanam. Dwelling upon one's own swarupam, dwelling upon the swarupam of the nature of reality of the whole, a Brahma swarupam, which is nididhyasanam. That is why shravanam is important. Why without shravanam, ajnanam wouldn't go. Without jnanam is not possible. If jnanam itself is not possible, what doubts can we resolve? If there is no clear understanding, what can we dwell upon? That is why nididhyasanam is Manasa Vyapara, a pure mental activity wherein we repeatedly dwell upon what has been clearly understood through Shravanam and Mananam. Especially Atma Swarupam, especially the essential nature of the reality obtaining as one's own self. Taking the word, suppose Nityaha, how Atma is Nityaha? See the timelessness. Repeatedly, it's only one word, Nityaha. How Atma is Nityaha? So Atma is a word implying only the abstract truth in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness. And consciousness has no time, because consciousness is there, even being aware of the time being not there, time being there. How consciousness is sarvagatam, nityaha, Atma Nityaha, Atma how Sarvagataha. How Atma is, you know, Sthanuhu, how Atma is Achalaha. Like that, the important crux words in that Bhagavad Gita second chapter, we have beautiful words like that. How it is indecanable, Avyayaha, how it is Avyaktaha. Like that, mantras present beautifully the unfoldment. So remembering the unfoldment of the meaning of the mantras and shlokas and having understood them and being clear in understanding of Atma Swarupam, which we remember, if we dwell upon, then this unnecessarily rising, uncontrollably rising involuntary thoughts can be kept in check. So Nirvikalpa Samadhi Abhyasaha Abhyasena, by dwelling upon the Swarupam of reality obtaining as one's own self. So by practicing Nididhyasanam, it is possible to have mastery over one's thoughts. That's what is said in the first line. Manorajyam Nirvikalpa Samadhitah Jetam Shakyam. So Tritiyarthe Panchami Nirvikalpa Samadhina means Nirvikalpa Samadhi Abhyasena Ityartha. Nirvikalpa Samadhi Abhyasa Samadhi Taha means Samadhi Abhyasena. Nirvikalpa Samadhi Abhyasena means by contemplation. By involving oneself in contemplation, it is definitely possible to have mastery over one's own mind, one's own thoughts, one's own emotions. It's very important. In spite of having understanding, sometimes we become very completely, we do not have any say over the mind, and mentally if we don't feel good, and that is very much expressed in our behavior, on our face, and how we are outside, it is expressed. Therefore, which means there is no mass control at all over our mind at that time. That is why any behavior is acceptable. Sometimes, even though it is very difficult to accept, still it's acceptable. If you remember this fact, that nobody intentionally behaves, because the unacceptable, intolerable behavior of any individual being is actually an expression of uncontrollable mental condition. Expression of uncontrollable uncontrolled mental condition, situation. We have to only pity such condition. We understand it. Otherwise, we will also get angry, we'll get upset, and we'll get hurt, we'll get offended, and we'll be reactive. Anyway, so here, if as a mature individual who is exposed to the teaching and having understood the teaching, in spite of having understood also, if a person, it is possible for one to easily become the victim of one's own condition of the mind, but then as one must make efforts deliberately to involve oneself in contemplation. That will help one to manage their mastery, to be victorious over one's own mind, to conquer one's mind also. So nirvikalpa samadhitaha manorajyam jetam shakyam. It means, Vidyanaya Swami says, command, be contemplative. Be contemplative, be meditative is the only way. Meditative means not simply practicing meditation. Here he emphasizes only Nididhyasana, not any meditation. This is where people think simply you involving oneself in meditation, simply practicing some type of meditation, or Vipassana meditation, or that meditation, this meditation, people think they can practice some meditation to control their thoughts, to manage their thoughts, to master over the thoughts. Really speaking, simply practicing meditation without having understood the teaching, practicing some meditation definitely will help one manage one's thoughts, but it should be a continuous process. It will be like how if you eat now and your hunger gets appeased now. But again, evening you'll be hungry. You have to eat again. Again you have to eat. Because every time you eat food, hunger gets appeased. If you want to eat once, it is not enough. You have to be eating again and again and again. Like that, this practice of meditation without having understood the teaching, simply practicing some meditation, no, then it may help you manage one's thoughts for temporarily. It is not a solution. Sometimes seriously practice such meditation may result in even mental disorders. Whereas here, it's a guided meditation. Guided in the sense you are asked to dwell upon the teaching. And the teaching means it is the teaching must have resulted in the understanding of what your sarupam is, what is the sarupam of the whole, and then you're very clear. There's no doubt in your understanding of the sarupam of your own self. Then when the clear understanding of your own sarupam is, then it is possible to understand, to meditate upon your own sarupam, because you're convinced, you are very clear. Nididhyasanam is always meditation upon one's own clear, one's clear understanding of one's own, meditation upon one's own sarupam, which has been understood clearly without any doubt. For such nirvikalpa samadhi, it means samadhi abhyasena. Contemplation will help one manage one's thoughts. Not simply help one manage one's thoughts, definitely will help one overcome, have mastery over one's mind. It's called Manorajyam Jetam Shakyam Nirvikalpa Samadhitaha. Then Susampadaha Kramat Sahapi Savikalpa Samadhina. Then the question comes, oh, it is easy to say, come on, practice Nididhyasana, dwell upon your own sarupam whenever thoughts come, or dwell upon your sarupam, then you can manage those thoughts. It is easy to say. How? For which second line he gives an answer for that. if we continuously, deliberately, constantly make efforts to practice Nidhyasana, gradually it will become a habit. Practice makes man perfect, we know that. And here also, that's why we have to make efforts. That's why I said that one has to make use of one's will to practice Nidhyasana, sit in meditation upon one's own Swarupa. Susampadaha. Susampadaha means effortlessly remaining absorbed in one's own Swarupam. Susampadaha means effortlessly remaining absorbed in one's own Swarupam. Actually, gain of naturally remaining absorbed in one's own Swarupam. It's called Susampadaha. Gaining naturally remaining absorbed in one's own Swarupam is Susampadaha. And that gaining that condition of naturally remaining absorbed in one's own Swarupam. So gaining of the condition of naturally remaining absorbed in one's own Swarupam is possible only when there is continuous, constant practice of meditation. That continuous constant practice of meditation is meant by the word Savikalpa Samadhi. So Savikalpa Samadhi in this context, even though in Yoga Shastram, we understand Samadhi as the culmination of practice of meditation. Here, Vidyarana Swami says, Savikalpa Samadhina means we constantly, continuously, deliberately practicing meditation is Savikalpa Samadhi. Savikalpa Samadhina, by meditation, but constantly, continuously, deliberately practicing meditation, our mind has to become well trained. So continuous practice will enable us to remain absorbed in our own Swarupam. Susampadaha kramat, kramat, saha api susampadaha. Saha api susampadaha. That gaining that condition of naturally remaining absorbed in one's own Swarupam is possible if we deliberately, constantly, continuously train the mind with continuous practice of meditation. So Savikalpa Samadhina, Nirvikalpa Samadhina. Samadhitaha is used fifth case. It is in the sense of third case. Tritiya Arthe Panchami. So Savikalpa Samadhina Kim Kartavyam. Nirvikalpa Samadhina Kim Kartavyam. What should be done by practice, by Savikalpa Samadhi? What should be done Nirvikalpa Samadhi? So Savikalpa Samadhi here implies practicing deliberately, continuously, constantly meditation. This constantly practice, continuously practicing meditation deliberately helps to develop a habit. Helps one develop a habit. When it becomes habit, then it is possible for us to have that condition of remaining absorbed effortlessly in one Swarupa. Once it is possible to remain absorbed in one's own Swarupam, which is contemplation, then the Nididhyasanam. Once we practice Nididhyasanam, it is easy to manage one's thoughts, to have mastery over one's own mind. This is a secret, he says. So start deliberately, repeatedly practice, mind will be going somewhere. Bring the attention back to the teaching again and again, which is dhyanam. But dhyanam, constant practice will result in that training the mind. Savikalpa samadhi is possible. So this constant practice of meditation itself is meant by the word savikalpa samadhi here. So deliberate effort is involved. Deliberately, when you practice meditation, and we gain that condition of naturally, effortlessly remaining absorbed in Swarupam. Savikalpa samadhina kramat means gradually. It doesn't happen overnight. Kramat susampada. Saha susam api susampadaha. What is susampadaha? Nirvikalpa samadhi is susampadaha. When one nirvikalpa samadhi is there, it is possible to have mastery over one's thoughts. So, what Shastram accepts is, Shastram does not complain why the mind is like this. So, Shastram does not make us feel guilty. Oh, you should not have anger, you should not have desire, you should not have likes and dislikes, give up all those things. No. Shastram does understands our situation. Shastram accepts our mental condition. So helps us, first of all, relieves us of the guilt. Don't feel bad, don't feel guilty about entertaining these thoughts. In spite of having studied Shastram for so long, in spite of having understood so much of teaching, still I do not have any control over my thoughts. Just thoughts rise like them and then they take over. And then when the behavior is uncontrollable because as being slave of the thoughts, then there's no difference between ordinary person who is not exposed to the teaching, even the person who is exposed to the teaching. There's no difference. If there's no mastery over one's thoughts, if there's no capacity to manage one's thoughts, emotions, naturally we're a slave of our minds. And a slave of one's own mind and behavior, external behavior is uncontrollable. But there's no difference between the person who is exposed to the teaching or who is not exposed to the teaching. Sometimes even people who are not exposed to the teaching also, they're able to manage sometimes the thoughts. But according to Shastram, it is impossible for anyone to manage one's thoughts. Impossible in the sense, if we're not conscious of managing our thoughts, then it is not possible to control, have them under check. If you're exposed to the teaching, understanding is there. And whenever we have a lot of time, whenever we are not preoccupied with some important other activities do not keep us occupied, then we must make the best use of the time to dwell upon the teaching. Whenever possible, whenever we have time, it is very important to dwell upon the teaching. We understand the teaching after the class, then we do not think about it. But even after the class times, even outside of class hours, always, whenever an opportunity, whenever we have time, we must think upon what has been clearly understood. Or what, or we have to think even to understand, if you have not understood, we should think to assimilate what has been understood also. So constantly, deliberately, when we make efforts to assimilate the teaching, then that becomes a continuous practice of meditation, actually helps us train the mind to effortlessly dwell upon the swarupam. That is savikalpa samadhina kramat susampadaha. This is nirvikalpa samadhi susampadaha. So whenever possible, wherever possible, if the understanding is there, one must make the best use of the time to dwell upon, to practice meditation, and then continuous deliberate practice of meditation will help us, one, gain that condition of naturally remaining absorbed in one's swarupam. By that capacity to naturally remain absorbed in one's own swarupam, then one can definitely have mastery over one's own thoughts. That is what is said in this 61st verse. We'll see the next 62nd verse. Buddha tattvena dhi dosha shunyenaikantavasina. Buddha tattvena dhi dosha shunyenaikantavasina. Dirgham pranavam uccharya manorajyam vijiyate. All these verses are beautiful verses. How can I really manage my thoughts? If anybody asks, how can I have mastery over my mind? How can I have, mastery over my thoughts? How can I really conquer my mind? If anybody asks a question, Vidyanatha Swami gives an answer here. There's no way, no other way. You must have understood the teaching and dwell upon the teaching. No, I understood, but I'm not able to dwell upon the teaching. The problem is most of the people understand the teaching very well because they're intelligent enough, sharp enough to understand, but our effort to dwell upon the teaching is not at all there. That is why still we find it difficult to have mastery over the mind. It's a beautiful teaching. Here emphasis is, come on, it is not enough if you understand. How much time do you spare to dwell upon your teaching? It is the most important teaching. So emphasis on how you must be contemplative always. In fact, he emphasizes, try to be contemplative. Not try to be contemplative, you must be contemplative. No, I'm not able to be contemplative because my mind doesn't sit. You train, practice. So savikalpa samadhi, train your mind to be able to remain absorbed in the teaching effortlessly. Then you're able to be absorbed in the teaching, then try to be absorbed. Try to be much again, whenever possible, just be with that vastu. Then it is possible. You have conquered your mind. That's it. He's telling us the way, how you can conquer your mind, how you can have mastery over your thoughts. There's no other greater achievement than having mastery over one's own emotions and thoughts. Satyam, there is no greater accomplishment, there's no greater achievement than having mastery over one's own emotions. If I have absolute mastery over my desires, my likes and dislikes, my needs, my anger, my God, do you think that there's any other greater achievement? No, there's no greater achievement than having mastery over one's own emotions. The greatest accomplishment. That's why conquering one's own mind is the absolute victory. And how Vidyarana Swami is giving tips here in these verses. Buddha tattvena dibhi dosha shunye naikanta vasina dirgham pranavamucharya manorajam vijiyate. He says, Buddha tattvena dhi dosha shunyena. Buddha tattvena dhi dosha shunyena. Ekanta vasina dirgham pranavam uccharya manorajyam vijiyate. Beautiful. Manorajyam vijiyate. First he said, Manorajyam jetam shakyam. He said, it is possible to have mastery over your mind, mastery over your thoughts, emotions, especially the uncontrollably rising involuntary thoughts. Now he says, Manorajyam vijiyate. Vijiyate, it is one. Manorajyam is one. Vijiyate. Manorajyam is one. Literal translation. It means one can have definitely mastery over one's mind. Absolute mastery over one's mind. One can conquer one's mind. One can have mastery over one's thoughts. Manorajyam vijiyate. He says, Ekanta vasina. Ekanta vasina. Do you have Ekanta vasina or Ekanta vasina? Ekanta vasina. Ekanta vasina vijiyate. So mind, the Manorajyam is conquered. Mind is conquered. Mind is won by a person who is Ekantavasi. Ekantavasi does not mean remaining quarrel with everybody and keeping oneself aloof. No. Ekantavasi means by a person who is living in solitude. Ekantavasina manorajyam vijiyate. But simply remaining hearted will help you attain, help you have mastery over your own mind. No, not simply living in solitude will help one have mastery over one's mind. But here it is said, Buddha tattvena. Buddha tattvena. Here, Buddha tattvaha means tattvam buddham yena saha buddha tattvaha. Tattvam, truth, buddham, known, understood, yena, by whom? He is Buddha Tattvaha. Buddha Tattvaha is a wise person. Ajnani, by whom Tattvam has been understood very clearly. Buddha Tattvaha is a person who has clear, doubt-free understanding. doubt-free understanding of the oneness of the truth of the individual, the total, and the Lord. One has understood the oneness of the truth of Jiva Jagad Ishvara. Jiva Jagad Ishvara Swarupa Aikya Jnanam. One Aikya Jnanam. The person who has Jiva Jagad Ishvara Swarupa Aikya Jnanam. He is Buddha Tattvaha. He has understood the truth. He is Buddha Tattvaha. Buddha Tattvena. So he is Ekantavasi, a person who is living in solitude. Also Buddha Tattvaha, one is clear understanding of oneness of the truth. And Dhi Dosha Shunyaha. Dhi Dosha Shunyaha. Dhi. Dhi mind. Doshaha, the all impurities of the mind. Impurities of the mind, therefore the defect of the dosha means the defect of entertaining uncontrollable involuntary thoughts is the doshaha. Now the dosha shunyaha means the person who is free from the problem of entertaining uncontrollable involuntary thoughts. The person who's free from shunya means he's devoid of. The person who's devoid of, who's free from the problem of uncontrollable involuntary thoughts. I mean the person who has really managed his even Tivram Ashastriyam Dvaitam. Tivram Ashastriyam Dvaitam Manorajyam. Tivram Manorajyam Tivram Ashastriyam Dvaitam. In terms of entertainment of uncontrollable, involuntary emotions, thoughts. The person who has managed them very well and who's free from the hold of such thoughts is called Dhi Dosha Shunyaha. See, Dhiyaha Doshaha, the defect of the mind. Defect of the mind entertaining uncontrollable involuntary emotions, thoughts. And his shunya means the one who is free from, one who is devoid of such problem of involuntary emotions, thoughts. Dhi dosha shunya. So he is pure minded. Dhi dosha shunya is a pure minded. Such a person, relatively pure minded. So Buddha Tattvaha Ekantavasi Dhi Dosha Shunyaha Api. In yesterday only taught Sanskrit class, when the Api goes where, in keeping with the position of the Api, the meaning of the sentence will change. So Dhi Dosha Shunyaha Api. Even that person, even then, so Ekantavasina Buddha Tattvena Dhi Dosha Shunyena. So here Dhi Dosha Shunyaha is the person who is devoid of Dhi Doshaha, the mental problem. Who is free from the mental problem is called Dhi Dosha Shunyaha. Even that person, Dirgham Pranavam Uchariya. what he should do. No? It's Dirgam Pranavam Uchari. Uchariya, having uttered. Uchariya, having Uchcharati is a verb. Uchariya, having uttered. Dirgam Pranavam means what? Long Omkaraha. Dirgam Pranavam Uchariya, having uttered long Omkara. Manorajyam Vijayate. Having uttered Omkara, this Manorajyam, entertainment of uncontrollable involuntary thoughts, is already free from, we say, even such a person having uttering this long Omkaraha, quietening one's mind of involuntary thoughts, one has to remain absorbed in one's own Swarupam. So uttering Omkara, remaining absorbed in one's own Swarupam, one can have absolute mastery over one's own mind. So here it is said, it is definitely conquered. Manorajyam is Vijayate. By whom? By the person who is Buddha Tattva, who is Dhidosha Shunyaha, Rekanta Vasi, and who, uttering Omkara, remains absorbed in one's own Swarupam. Remaining absorbed in one's own Swarupam is not mentioned here. We have to understand. Dirgham Pranamucharya, uttering Omkaraha, one who remains absorbed in one's own Swarupam. By such a person, Manorajyam is Vijayate. Manorajyam, mind is conquered. Which means that person enjoys freedom while living. Yeah, it is possible for him to enjoy even Videha Mukti later on. They're all implied here. Buddha Tattvena Dhidosha Shunyena Ekanta Vasina Dirgam Pranam Uchcharya Manorajyam Vijayate. Mind is conquered by a person who remains absorbed in one's own Swarupam, uttering Omkara. As a person living in solitude, as the one who is free from the mental problem and who has clear understanding of the oneness of the truth, you must have clear understanding of the truth, then you must be in solitude, then you must be free from the mental problem of entertaining involuntary thoughts, then uttering Omkaraha, remaining absorbed in one Swarupam, it is possible for you to have absolute mastery over your mind, which is Jivan Muktihi, which will result in Videha Muktihi also. This much is implied in this very verse. Again, Vidyananda Swami makes it emphasize that you must have done Shravanam, under mananam, you must have the clear understanding of the teaching. People come and ask sometimes, I have done shravanam, but I have not done mananam. No, shravanam repeatedly done becomes mananam also. It's only being convinced of what you have clearly understood. And if you have, sometimes people misunderstand how they think they clearly have understood. It's another problem. But the clarity implies that that means the clarity can be how peaceful you are, how you're able to manage your thoughts. That is the proof for your, the degree of clarity you have. Is not to measure on what others say about our knowledge. Our own clarity is a proof for our own mental condition. Our mental condition is a proof for our own clarity. Therefore, repeated listening is important. Repeated listening should help in having clear understanding of the truth. And with understanding, if solitude is also possible, then having certain degree of mastery over one's mind, if it is possible for one to remain absorbed in one's sarupam, then uttering omkara, jivan mukti is there right in front of you. I mean, you are free from all problems. That is what is said in this verse. That is what is conquering one's own mind. If you are free while living, you have mastery over your mind. You have conquered your mind. Conqueror of your mind. Therefore, what is important here is whenever possible, wherever possible, we have to dwell upon the teaching. So by dwelling upon the teaching, it is possible for us to turn the attention. Dwelling upon the teaching is the way of turning the attention of the mind. From unwanted things and the turning attention of the mind from that unwanted things is also in order to dwell upon the teaching becomes possible through the practice of even other disciplines also. Which means turning the attention of the mind from unwanted things means also even fivefold layers of personality or fivefold objects of the world. So being able to turn the attention of the mind from the external world of objects are fivefold objects or five layers of personality is yogaha. Being able to turn the attention from the anatma to atma is yogaha. Then dwelling upon the nature of sarupa the atma is samadhi abhyasaha, otherwise called nididhyasanam. Yogaha dhyanam. We understand the two words. Being able to turn the attention from the anatma to the atma is yogaha. That's the yoga aspect. After having turned the attention from anatma to atma, being able to dwell upon the Atma, remaining absorbed in Atma is what? Samadhi Abhyasaha, otherwise called Nididhyasana. then when all these involuntary thoughts are in fact resolved, what is there is the Jivan Mukti, which is not attained, which manifests, which is already there. Okay, next verse. So we must remember this. Ekantavasi, ekantavasina, buddha tattvena, dhi dosha shunyena. These three, we must take care of these three factors. Am I buddha tattvaha? Have I understood clearly the teaching? Am I able to be, just be with myself? Ekantavasi means, am I able to be just with myself? Do I miss the company of the world? Then, and do I take care of my mind? Which means constant practice. Whenever possible, I must be able to dwell upon the teaching. The more and more we dwell upon the teaching, the more and more we are able to get trained to be absorbed in the teaching. Then it is possible eventually to have absolute mastery. Jite tasmin vritti shunyam manas tishtati mukavat. Jite tasmin vritti shunyam. Jite tasmin vritti shunyam. Jite tasmin vritti shunyam manas tishtati mukavat. Yetad padam vasishthena ramaya bahudheritam. Jite tasmin vritti shunyam manas tishtati mukavat. Yetad padam vasishthena ramaya bahudheritam. It's a nice verse. What he says, tasmin jite tasmin vritti shunyam manaha tishtati mukavat is the teaching. Okay, tasmin jite vritti shunyam manaha tishtati mukavat is a teaching. Yetat padam, and this word was actually Vasishthena Ramaya Bahudha Iritam. Bahudheritam, Bahudha Iritam. Look at this. Jite tasmin. You put otherwise, tasmin jite. So Sati Saptami. Okay. Tasmin manasi jite sati. Tasmin manasi jite sati. Tasmin jite, jite means tasmin manasi jite. Tasmin manasi jite. Manasi I have to add here. Okay. Tasmin jite means tasmin manasi jite. Tasmin manasi jite means what? When the mind is one. When the mind is conquered. When the mind is conquered means when all these uncontrollable involuntary thoughts are resolved. Tasmin manasi jite. Sati saptami. Jite sati. Adu vellapatta podu. Tasmin manasi jite sati. When that such mind entertaining the uncontrollable involuntary thoughts is really, when this conquered means what? When the uncontrollably rising involuntary thoughts are resolved. How was it resolved? That is not said in the mantra, in this verse. Resolved by continuous deliberate entertainment of the thoughts pertaining to Vedantic teaching. By continuous, constant, deliberate entertainment of thoughts of Vedantic teaching. It means by repeatedly dwelling upon the teaching. So repeatedly, deliberately using our wills, entertaining Vedantic, the thoughts of Vedantic teaching, means dwelling upon the teaching, is entertaining Vedantic thoughts pertaining to Vedantic teaching. But dwelling upon the teaching. So when that mind is conquered, or all the thoughts are resolved, deliberately entertaining the thoughts pertaining to Vedantic teaching by dwelling upon the teaching, manaha mukavata tishtati. Mukaha means dumb person. Manaha tishtati, mind remains. Okay, manaha tishtati. How does mind remain? Mukavata means what? Like the dumb person. Like the dumb, the word mukaha literally means dumb. How the dumb person remains without speaking. So the mind remains, vritti shunyam. Vritti shunyam means mind remains blank without thoughts. Mind remains blank without thoughts. See, mukha, even though literally means dumb person, mukha also means the person who is not adequate, who is not sharp, who is not brilliant, like an unintelligent person, like a dumb person. Vat means like a dumb person, like an unintelligent person. The mind remains blank without thoughts. Manaha mukavat vritti shunyam tishtati. Manaha vritti shunyam tishtati. Vritti shunyam manaha means what? Mind without thoughts. Mind without vrittis. Mind without vrittis. Mind without thoughts is vritti shunyam manaha. So mind remains without entertaining any thoughts. Mind remains blank. But actually, a dumb person who doesn't speak, but actually he can make lots of noise. The dumb person who is restless mentally can say, make lot of noise. He can make noise. But here, mukavat means, really the person doesn't speak, speechless. Mukavat means speechless. The mind remains silent. Mind remains silent, blank, without any thoughts, speechless. Like a speechless person. And here, this is the first line, okay? Tasmin manasi jite. Manaha mukavate vritti shunyam tishtati. Clean sentence. Tasmin manasi jite. Manaha mukavate vritti shunyam tishtati. Mind remains silent, blank, without thoughts, like speechless, dumb person or an intelligent person. When the mind is conquered, when all the uncontrollable involuntary thoughts are resolved, continuously, constantly, deliberately entertaining the thoughts of Vedantic teaching, by dwelling upon the Vedantic teaching. He says, no other way. That's why understand the teaching, dwell upon the teaching, dwell upon the teaching. You must dwell upon the teaching again and again and again. That's the only way your thoughts can be resolved. But here, the doubt may come, no? Even in Yoga Shastra, when they teach yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, yoga philosophy also, even though the discipline of practicing 8-4 limbs is beautiful, but yoga philosophy, what is said? See, dropping all the thoughts, practice of Ashtanga Yoga finally should result in Samadhi. And they said Samadhi for them in Yoga Shastram is completely having all the thoughts resolved is Samadhi. Having all the thoughts resolved is Samadhi. According to Yoga Shastram, having all the thoughts resolved totally for length of time is Samadhi Anubhavaha. And here, even in sleep, effortlessly, we have all our thoughts resolved. So Samadhi Anubhavaha is, even though it's not exactly like the sleep, it is like the sleep. Because in sleep also, we don't practice any meditation. In sleep, if you fall asleep, I sense is resolved. Naturally, all other thoughts resolve. So in sleep, we have the complete, in sleep also, all the thoughts remain resolved. In sleep also, there's a blank mind. Blankness of mind is experienced in sleep also. So in Samadhi experience also, by practicing Ashtanga Yoga also, when there's Samadhi Anubhavaha, Samadhi experience also is actually deliberately, to practice a meditation, all the thoughts remain resolved. So that completely having all the thoughts resolved is called Samadhi Anubhavaha in Yoga Shastram, which is very much appreciated and actually recommended in Yoga Shastra. Whereas Vedanta Shastram, please be very careful, Vedanta Shastram does not accept, approve such having the thoughts resolved deliberately for length of time. So that is only Advaita Anubhavaha. Having all the thoughts resolved for length of time, the practice of meditation is otherwise called Samadhi in Yoga Shastram, is only Advaita Anubhavaha. It is not Advaita Darshanam. Therefore, Vedanta does not simply accept having all the thoughts resolved. No. So then, what does Vedanta accept? What is it Vedanta really recommend? In Vedanta Shastram, having all the thoughts resolved means having all the thoughts resolved does not mean temporarily having the thoughts resolved. In Vedanta Shastram, having the thoughts resolved means not having the thoughts pertaining to anatma. Not having the thoughts pertaining to anatma means what? Having the thoughts of anatma pertaining to anatma means the thoughts of wrong identity. thoughts associated with the wrong identity and wrong perception, having them resolved. And having the wrong identity resolved, having the wrong perception resolved, having the erroneous thoughts resolved, is having thoughts resolved. In Vedanta Shastram, having the thoughts resolved means not entertaining erroneous notions, having the erroneous notions resolved. Please be careful, not having all the thoughts resolved. In Vedanta Shastram, having the thoughts resolved means having absolute mastery over one's mind, means having the erroneous notions, obtaining of thoughts resolved, having the corrected the erroneous perception, having resolved erroneous thoughts, erroneous notions in the form of thoughts. How is it possible for us to resolve the erroneous notions in the form of thoughts? How is it possible to resolve the erroneous notions in obtaining them in the form of thoughts? It is possible only if we continuously entertain and maintain the thoughts of Vedantic teaching. What I am essentially, if I repeatedly dwell upon what I am essentially, what the truth is, then in keeping with the Vedantic teaching, naturally what I'm not also will become very clear. So wrong notions will be resolved. So jnana sambandhi vrittayaha, entertaining thoughts pertaining to the knowledge in terms of the Shastra teaching will help us resolve the thoughts pertaining to anatma, means all wrong notions. So having the wrong notions resolved is by constantly dwelling upon the fact, is actually the having the thoughts resolved. That's what is having the blank mind in Vedanta. So in Vedanta Shastram, having the blank mind, not having thoughts, does not mean completely not having any thoughts at all. We do not have thought means there's no knowledge is possible. Without entertaining a thought, we cannot even understand the teaching. We cannot even dwell upon the teaching. We cannot even assimilate the teaching. We cannot even have the vision of the truth. Therefore, completely having a blank mind or Advaita Anubhavaha, not having any thoughts at all, dropping all the thoughts, which is said to be a big achievement in Yoga Shastram, is not at all accepted in Vedanta Shastram. So, not having thoughts, having the thoughts resolved means having the wrong notions resolved. How? By having the right vision of the truth, by dwelling upon the teaching. Therefore, and this has been already very beautifully, emphatically expressed in the very first chapter of this same text, the very first chapter of the text, when we read, if we go back to your the 56th verse of the first chapter, we can understand this fact emphasized by Vidyanand Swami in the very first chapter. If you have time, you can go back to the first chapter and listen to the 56th verse. There he makes it very clear how it is not completely not having the thoughts, having thoughts resolved is not Shastram, not recommended by Vedanta Shastra. So even in contemplation, contemplation itself is what? Entertaining thoughts pertaining to the teaching. So it is not possible to dwell upon the Swarup without having the thoughts. Vedanta does not support the thought, resolving thoughts for thoughts. And anyway, this teaching, Etad Padam Vasishtena Ramaya Bahudha Iritam. So, Vasishtha Rishi many times repeatedly said this to Rama. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.